The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. It is good to be together in God's house tonight to hear his word and to sing his praise. This is our final Wednesday evening worship service since this Sunday is Palm Sunday. And then next week begins Holy Week. So next week, instead of Wednesday, we'll have Thursday and Friday, with Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. We'll begin with this evening with hymn 430, My Song is Love Unknown. May God bless us as we worship together tonight. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord commanded the Red Sea to dry up. He led Israel across the sea as if it were a desert. He rescued them from their enemies and redeemed them from their foes. The waters returned and covered their enemies. Not one of them survived. Abel's people believed his promises. They sang his praise. Yet how quickly they forgot what he had done. They wouldn't wait for his counsel. The people made a calf at Mount Sinai. They bowed down before an image made of gold. They forgot God their Savior, who had done such great things in Egypt. So he declared that he would destroy them. But Moses, his chosen one, stepped between the Lord and the people. He begged them to turn from his anger and not destroy them. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Hear me, merciful and mighty Father, as I confess my bondage to sin and death. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war and making me a prisoner of the law of sin and death. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Hear the good news. The same God who delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage also delivers you from your body of sin and death. Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb, has been sacrificed, and his blood forgives you and sets you free. Save us, O Lord, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Lord God, merciful Father, you are the God who made heaven and earth. Forgive us when we clamor for a different God, and set our feet on the path that trusts in you above all things. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. A reading from Exodus chapter 32. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and rose to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them in order that I may make a great nation out of you." But Moses implored the Lord, his God, and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'With evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth?' Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself, your own self. And say to them, 'I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever.'" And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as an example for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.' We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day." Please stand as we hear the reading from the Gospel. A reading from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go to hell." You may be seated. We continue by singing our sermon hymn, hymn 665.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that we'll consider this evening is the Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 32 that we heard before. We'll hear sections of it as we go through the message this evening. It was a late night, December of 2014, and there was a little girl who needed help falling asleep. And at that time, the only way to do it for her was with a car ride. This time it was Dad's turn. And so we got in the car and we headed out on the back roads between Sweet Springs and Emma. And since it was near Christmas, we decided to go down Amazon Road and check out one of the houses there that had a really nice display of Christmas lights. And so we looked at the lights in the house, and I started going back. The only problem was I didn't remember where the road teed. And so since there was no stop sign there, I ran right off the road, across the other one, into the grass on the other side. It was December, it had been wet, it was misting, and beneath the long green grass was mud. Deep, deep mud. And we were stuck. Now, at this point, a lesser man might have called a tow truck, might have even called his wife to ask for help, but no, not me. Oh, no, not me. No siree. I would get out of this the manly way. I hit the accelerator. Nothing. Confident, I would get out. I put the car in reverse and hit the accelerator again. And again, nothing. Still nothing. It went back and forth between forward and reverse. The result? Well, now the car was covered with mud, and we were deeper in the mud. If Hannah had been able to talk at that point, she probably would have said something like this. Dad, what are you thinking? Therein lies the problem. You see, I wasn't thinking. I wasn't thinking. We were stuck and there was no way out. Aaron knows. Aaron knows how this feels. Oh my, Aaron, Moses' brother, he knows what it is like to be stuck in the mud. Today we come to Exodus 32. Aaron takes a wrong turn. He gets stuck and then he hits the accelerator, if you will, and ends up digging himself and Israelites into a huge hole. I feel his pain. So here's what's going on. The golden calf episode in Exodus 32 is sandwiched between God's instructions to build the tabernacle in Exodus 25 through 31, and then the construction of the tabernacle, which is in chapters 35 to 40. And here's what happens. When the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down the mountain, this is when Moses has gone up on the mountain for the Ten Commandments, they gathered around Aaron. Come on, they said, make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what's happened to this fellow Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt. Moses had been on the top of Mount Sinai at this point for 40 days and 40 nights. The people are getting impatient. How long? You know the feeling, so do I. It takes a long time to get through school. It takes a long time to build a marriage. It takes a long time to raise children. We see how long it takes to save money. We don't like a God who makes us wait. We want a God who can satisfy right now. And that's what Aaron offers. Take the gold rings from your ears, from the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, bring them to me. The people get rid of their gold rings in their ears and brought them to Aaron. Aaron took the gold, melted it down, and molded it into the shape of a calf. Aaron offers a God who can satisfy you right now. And with that, Aaron makes a wrong turn. Next, Aaron gets stuck. So here's the claim. Aaron saw how excited the people were, so he built an altar in front of the calf. Then he announced, "Tomorrow will be a festival to the Lord." Aaron makes a stunning claim. Aaron calls the calf the Lord. Really, Aaron? The calf is the Lord? Really? Later on, he'll make an even greater claim. It's like he tells Moses when he's explaining, he's like, I threw the gold in there and out popped this calf. I don't know how that happened, you know? Really, Aaron? Really? So here's the question. How long can we exchange a real God for a fake God and then claim that the fake God is actually the real God? Well, we do this often. We do this far too often. What are our fake gods for us here in America? Well, you have money, you have sports, you have jobs, you have the farm. But money and sports and jobs and the farm promise everything, and in the end, they can't deliver. Aaron makes a wrong turn. Aaron gets stuck, and then Aaron hits the accelerator and ends up digging himself and the Israelites into a huge hole. What hole would that be? The people celebrated with feasting and drinking and indulging in pagan revelry. Pagan revelry here means sexual immorality. You heard it from the ESV earlier where it says the people sat down to eat and drink and then got up to play. You know what kind of playing that is. When Paul reflects on this next on Exodus 32 and 1 Corinthians 10:8, he calls it what it is, sexual immorality. Now that's a huge hole, right? Here's the come on. It starts out just like Aaron. We get impatient. How long? Right? We take a wrong turn, we get stuck, but then we are tempted to hit the accelerator. How so? By disregarding the sixth commandment. You shall not commit adultery. You're at the hotel and someone slides a room key your direction. Someone shows up on Facebook and just wants to talk. Someone offers a listening ear, a gentle touch, or maybe more. Justifications, rationalizations, they pop into your brain like weeds after a summer rain. No one will know. I won't get caught. What's the big deal? I'm only human. We like a God who gives us what we want now, not a God who makes us wait. We want a God who can satisfy right now. Well, let me say this as clear as possible. I learned this that night, stuck in the mud. Don't hit the accelerator. If you are stuck emotionally, financially, relationally, don't make matters worse by doing something that you will regret for the rest of your life. Here's what I suggest. Make a list of all of the people who will be hurt by you doing something immoral. Here's my list. My wife, Julia, Hannah and Zachariah, my children, my parents, my brothers who are pastors, you, dear people of Emmanuel and the congregations here, especially the people at Holy Cross, one bad decision is a poor exchange for a lifetime of lost legacy. Fathers, would you break the arm of your child? Of course you would not. That would violate every fiber of your being. But if you have an affair, if you engage in sexual activity outside of marriage, you will bring far more pain into your children's lives than 100 broken arms. Mothers, would you force your children to sleep outside on a cold winter night? No way. But if you have an affair, you will bring more darkness and chill into their lives than 100 winters. If you are unmarried, would you desecrate a Bible or make a mockery of a cross? Of course you wouldn't. But when you are immoral, you break God's heart. Three times in this chapter, in verse 1, or verse 21, verse 30, and 31, Moses calls Israel's great sin, calls Israel's sexual immorality a great sin. It's a great sin because of who committed it. Aaron, Moses' brother, the high priest, the Israelites, God's chosen people, is a great sin because of where they committed it. Right there at the foot of God's holy mountain, Mount Sinai. It is a great sin because of when they committed it. Right after God delivered them from Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. If I was Moses, I would wash my hands of the whole mess, but Moses doesn't do that. In fact, Moses doesn't do that at all. So here's the promise. Moses prays to the Lord. He says, turn away from your fierce anger. Change your mind about this terrible disaster you have threatened against your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. When you are in a hole, claim the covenant. Claim God's promises for you. What is God's covenant? God's covenant with the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And guess what happened? The Lord changed his mind about the terrible disaster he had threatened to bring on his people. The covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Israel is an everlasting covenant, sealed in blood. And so we hear all the way back in Genesis 15. Sin cannot break this covenant. Idolatry does not nullify it. Death cannot defeat it, and a huge hole cannot destroy it. A huge hole cannot destroy it. So how does the covenant that God cut with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Israel help you? Well, it is fulfilled in the death of Jesus. God's covenant promises are sealed in Jesus' blood, shed on the cross for you, given for you in the Lord's Supper. The covenant of Jesus' blood announces that God is indeed gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. God is always loving. God is always kind. He is always forgiving. He is always abounding in mercy and grace. We can be certain that this is true because God raised Jesus from the dead for you. He is sitting at God's right hand interceding for us, and his blood is an eternal witness that your sins are forgiven. When Hannah and I were stuck out on the side of the road that Wednesday night, late in December, we did eventually call Meyer Motors, and they came and pulled us out. Well, okay, the only vindication I got was that the tow truck pulling us out also got stuck as it was pulling us out. So they had to call another tow truck, and that tow truck pulled out the other tow truck, and then those two tow trucks together pulled us out. This was a good reminder that we cannot get ourselves out on our own. We need Jesus. His love is stronger than even two tow trucks. We have all taken wrong turns. We have all built golden calves. We have all worshipped other gods. We have all known the hell of a hole. I don't care how deep the hole is for you. You are not stuck. We are not stuck in this hole forever. What can we do? We can do what Moses is. We can claim God's promises. Claim the promise that God made to you in baptism to forgive your sins and give you everlasting life and the Holy Spirit to help you in temptation. Claim Christ's new covenant promised, delivered to us in his cleansing, powerful, renewing blood. So we sing our hymn of response, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed?" Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we confess that we too have made idols like the Israelites made the golden calf. We have worshipped them, and we have expected them to do what only you can do. Lord, we lay our sins on you, because we know that you only can take them away. We pray that you would do this for us each and every day. Lord, in your mercy. Oh Lord, we give you thanks for all of your goodness. We thank you for the sunshine and the warmth today. We thank you for healing for Daniel and for his sister April. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, which are always there for us. Keep us mindful of these gifts and help us to turn to you whenever we need them. Lord, in your mercy. Oh Lord, we come to you on behalf of Betty, Pat, Carol, and Sam Ed, for Nancy, Cindy, Dusty, Amy, Debbie, and Krista, for those who are in the nursing home, for Sylvia, Millie, James, Lawanda, Sharon, and Martha Jane, for Dorothy, Leland, and Mickey. We commend them to your care, O Lord, trusting in your mercy to help them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for our church, for President Harrison, for our national synod, for President Hagen from the Missouri districts, and for their families. We pray that you would keep them and all pastors faithful to you, and that you would continue to gather your church together. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for those who serve your church here and throughout the world, for Josh, Coco, Justin, and Sophia Lang in China, for Pastor Peter and Kirsty Kolb, who are in Thailand, and for those who serve People of the Book Lutheran Outreach. We pray that you would strengthen them in their work and that you would bring more people to you through their endeavors. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we ask that you would continue to send your Son, our Lord Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Break and hinder, Lord, those who would plan evil against us and against anyone who is innocent throughout the world. We pray that you would be with those who serve in the military, especially Rodney and Chad, and that you would keep them safe as they go into harm's way. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to his holy name and glory in his praise. You may be seated for the closing hymn. Dismissed.